This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Are you ready to travel the world for nearly free while building your wealth at the same time? Well, in this episode, I sit down with Jaina, an expert in real estate investing, but also traveling with points and miles. She'll share her unique strategies for using real estate investments to generate points and miles for incredible trips. Imagine turning every renovation into a luxurious vacation. Well, Jaina does exactly that. From flying Emirates business class to Lake Como in Italy, to exploring how to leverage credit cards for real estate expenses, this episode is packed with actionable insights for anyone looking to revolutionize their financial and their travel journeys. Tune in to learn how to make your money work for you on the ground and in the sky.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. I have got an exciting guest today. It is Jaina Palasigi, and I've invited her on the show because she has a real niche in the points and miles space that I thought would really be amazing to share. She actually has an expertise in real estate investing and specifically using her real estate investments to earn points and miles. I think this will be a unique opportunity to wear a bit of my financial advisor hat. And let's face it, you guys haven't been steadily listening every week to this podcast because I'm talking about Roth IRAs and 401ks. But this is an opportunity to talk about both building personal wealth and, in turn, a wealth in the travel lifestyle in the form of points. So as someone that also owns investment property myself, I'm excited to not only learn from Jaina, but also to have an opportunity to share some of the ways that I've used points and miles as a business owner. And I know you're going to get a lot out of today's episode. So Jaina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, DeAndre. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. So glad we could get this coordinated and have you on the calendar today. So Jaina, let me ask you this. Where are you currently? Where are you from? And how'd you get into the points and miles world?
Sure. I'm in Orange County, California, originally from Southern California. And how I got into the points and miles world was originally, technically, back in 2010 when the Sapphire Reserve came out. And that was that huge 100K signup bonus. And, you know, like a lot of newbies, I redeemed it in the portal for like two nights at some IHG hotel. But DeAndre, I was like, dude, I'm so dope. I got these two nights for free from 100K, which obviously I do not do really anymore. But if we're really talking about how I truly got into points and miles, it was more recently. So it was in about 2021 when me and my business partner were looking for business funding. And we found this program called Freedom Travel Systems. I think you had Allison Tackett in your show too. So our company, Eli Travel Guy, Travel with Tommy, and they essentially at the time had a product teaching business owners how to get business funding, but also how to travel. And that's truly where my mind opened to what's possible, not only leveraging your business expenses for funding or getting business funding for your business, but also to travel hack with those use points and miles.
That's really cool. So a little bit of synergy there, because I also started with the Chase Sapphire Reserve when it had the 100,000 point sign up bonus, which You know, they touted, hey, 100,000 points, that's worth $1,500 in cash. I also redeemed, I didn't redeem all of them, but I redeemed a lot of them in the portal early on as well. So we both made the same mistakes, but at the same time, we got points, we used them, and that was still a win either way. Not the best redemption, but that was still a win.
Still a win for sure.
So, Jaina, question for you. Let's start talking a little bit about your real estate journey, right? So, absolutely, for listeners, we're going to get into the points and miles because it's going to be the meat of what we talk about. But I want to start, how did you really get into the real estate investing world? Because I feel like a lot of people, and even again, as a financial advisor, I'm talking with my clients. I have a lot of clients that have an interest in real estate investing. I have many clients that do it already, whether they just have their, you know, one home that they've kept as a rental and they move to another house. I have a lot that say, hey, look, we're thinking about getting an investment property, an Airbnb, a beach house, whatever it may be. And they are oftentimes asking me for kind of what my perspective is. And of course, like I mentioned at the beginning, I have real estate investments, but I'm very curious, how did you get started? Because everyone's start into real estate investing, very similar to points and miles, is typically very different.
Yes, I absolutely agree. So just like most people, COVID changed my life. And it was during that time that I got more curious just into financial literacy in general, because I saw the stock market plummet. And I just felt more of an urgency to figure out how to build wealth at that time. So my same business partner around 2021 came up to me. And this is before we became business partners. We knew each other from church and we both worked full-time W-2s. And he goes, Jaina, I bought a house. And I was like, no way. And I was like, where? Because we live in Orange County. We're so priced out of our own market. He's like, I bought it in Indiana. I'm like, that's random. And he's like, guess how much it costs? And of course, my California mind was like, I don't know, $200K for a house. And he's like, $38,000. And I was just shook at the fact that you could buy single family homes out of state cheaper than cars driving in my neighborhood. So it was really at that point that I got into real estate. I just copied and pasted everything he did with my first rental. And now I'm at 9 units in the same place, Evansville, Indiana. So that's how it started. It was literally a conversation and more so an urgency to learn about building wealth.
That's incredible. And so are all 9 of your units all kind of the single family homes? Are they all long-term rentals? Are they some of the midterm rentals? So you know, there's the LTR, the MTR, or the STR, short-term rentals, which is, of course, Airbnb, VRBO. What's kind of the model that you stick with, that you found you enjoy the most, or do you kind of have a mixture of all of them?
So I do have a mixture. So for all my long-term rentals, those are in Evansville, Indiana. There's 5 single-family homes and then 1 quadplex. I have a property manager out there and a whole team. But then at the same time, so that's a little bit more passive to create more active real estate income. I also co-host, which is essentially property management for Airbnbs or midterm rentals. So even though I'm based in Orange County, I property manage for properties in San Diego, California, Montgomery, Alabama, Cleveland, Ohio, and Houston, Texas. So those different real estate strategies allows me to have more of a combination of my real estate like nest egg, essentially, to have more income coming in.
Got it. So I'm super curious about this. So I haven't actually heard of someone that does what you do in that capacity. Is this your own? I assume it's your own business then, essentially your own venture. Is you manage these other properties?
Correct. So me and my business partner have full-time W-2s, and then we have our own like co-hosting business called Premier Host Management, where we remotely manage midterm rentals and Airbnb short-term rentals anywhere in the nation, essentially.
Got it. Okay. So you both have your own full-time kind of careers, and then you have your passive real estate investing, and then you have this business that you guys share in managing Airbnbs.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then somehow you find time to travel as well. So that's pretty impressive.
I do. You know, a lot of people are shook all the time of how I do it, but it's because I've been in my W-2 for such a long time. I've been in it for 12 years that I created systems and automations to take back my time while still meeting all the objectives needed to fulfill my job 100%. So it's a matter of creating systems, and you can create systems in points and miles too, right? So it's really helped me manage my time better.
Jaina, what is it that you actually do then?
Oh, so I'm a public health professional. I help people quit smoking. So I run a county-wide quit smoking program for anyone, youth and adults, who want to quit smoking or quit vaping in 5 languages.
That's amazing. And do you speak the 5 languages yourself, or it's the program is just in 5 different languages?
Yeah, the program is in five different languages. We have tobacco cessation specialists that are bilingual in all those five languages that are specific to our county with the communities that have the highest prevalence of smoking. So we try to make the services available in those languages to help them quit, and it's all for free.
Very, very interesting. And I think that's an impactful thing that you obviously do as well from a health standpoint. So from a real estate standpoint, Jane, is the goal long term for real estate to be kind of the 100% where your income comes from? This is a little bit of my financial advisor hat coming in question, right? But is that the goal long term? Or is it, hey, we enjoy real estate, it's a great aspect of passive involvement, but also kind of planning on keeping both W-2 and the real estate world at the same time?
So eventually, my long-term goal is to have real estate take over and replace my W-2 income, because I absolutely do not want to work a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life. But at the same time, I realize the benefit of having a W-2, having a 401k. I love that. You can't get that in real estate investing. I mean, there's other ways to save, but you know what I mean. Also, insurance. I'm in public health. That's a big thing for me, especially in the United States, to have that coverage. So for as long as possible, I'm totally willing and able to do both, especially because what I do in my W-2 is very enjoyable, very challenging, and very fulfilling. I can definitely understand a lot of people in real estate. I feel like there's a lot of W-2 shaming, which is completely warranted. I get it. There's a lot of 9-to-5s that are not business, so I get it. But there's people like me that enjoy their W-2 and want to do it in addition to doing real estate as well.
So I think that's a perfect segue. And I appreciate you sharing that, giving us some background on what it is that you do and kind of how you got started in the real estate. So let's start kind of intersecting the real estate with the points and miles. And I'm just going to ask, how do you do it, right? How do you use real estate and in your growth and investment in real estate to generate points? And then we're going to definitely talk about what trips have you taken with these points too. But I want to start with, how do you get the points first?
Of course. I got you, DeAndre. So there's two ways. So as I mentioned, I'm more of a passive investor with long terms, and then I'm an active investor essentially with my business. So on the passive side, I have a very specific strategy for accruing points and miles. And what I do is in the Midwest, specifically my market of Evansville, I find distressed properties, so value add, that require renovation. That's the key. That requires renovation. And for me, you're going to love this, DeAndre. Get ready for it. I don't know. I don't have a name for it, but it's like a 3-star approach. Okay.
Okay. Let's go for it.
Yeah. I get a subject to commercial loan that allows me to wrap the renovation costs in the loan. So because it needs renovation, that means I don't have to put any money down. I just have to pay the mortgage until the renovation is complete and it gets rented, which is usually 3 to 6 months. Then because it needs renovation, and with these cheaper homes, it ranges anywhere from 10 to 30K renovation, I intentionally, during that time, look for elevated sign-up bonuses of specific credit cards. And this is very unique, but my general contractor allows me to pay him a lump sum, and then he disperses the money to the other contractors. So that way I meet the minimum spend like that, right? And some people might be asking, well, do you get, you know, that 3% fee that a lot of contractors charge. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, yes. But for me, it's very intentional because I'm only doing it if I'm meeting sign-up bonus. So the points outweigh that 3% fee. I'm not going to do it if it's just like a normal card earning 1.5 points per dollar, right? No, because you're losing money at that point. And in real estate, and as of course, you know, as a financial advisor, you want to build real money, right? Real money is always more important than, you know, maybe points and miles, in my opinion. So I do that. I accrue all these points and miles. So every time I get one of these like cheaper rentals that are usually around 100K, I get an asset that produces cash flow and builds wealth. And then because I earn so much points and miles from that asset, I get a nearly free vacation, most often a luxury. So that's my whole strategy that I've determined for at least my renovation side. So that's one, earning points and miles that way. What do you think about that?
I absolutely love everything you just said. This is not a real estate podcast, obviously, which I think you could absolutely kill it on just from what you just said. But I wanted to go back to you said a phrase that I don't think many people have ever heard of or know what it is. And I'm going to ask you to take a quick sidestep and explain what is a subject to loan, right? Because that's not something that a lot of people have heard about. And so you mentioned that, and immediately I'm like, oh, genius idea. But many people are going to be like, what the heck is a subject to commercial loan? So can you explain that real quick?
It's essentially a subject to the appraisal value of the property after you do the renovation. So if an appraiser determines after all the renovations you plan to do, right, that it'll be worth a certain value, they will be able to give you essentially 80%. I know it's getting a little technical, of that loan value for you to use on the house to do renovations up front. So it's like a reverse BRRRR. If people know the BRRRR strategy, buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat, instead of you refinancing at the end of the property when it's renovating, you get the money up front to essentially do the renovation. So it essentially just means that you get upfront the renovation costs in your loan, so you don't have to come out of pocket with that.
I really appreciate that breakdown. I think that was super helpful because a lot of people, when they're thinking buying property, right, they only know about the 30-year conventional mortgage. They don't know that there's subject to loans, there's DSCRs, there's so many different ways that you can actually get loans to invest in property. Now, again, this is not a real estate podcast or a financial planning podcast. I think we could absolutely have a great conversation on both of those with this. But for the listeners out there, if you're thinking through the same thing that you're doing, Jane, I think this is an amazing opportunity. So that's one of the main methods, it seems like, that your process. Out of curiosity, and I know every property is going to be very, very different as far as what it needs from a rehabbing standpoint, but just roughly, what do you feel like on average, and of course, cost of things have gone up, but on average, what are you probably putting on credit cards from a cost standpoint for rehabbing? So you just bought a property for X amount of dollars. I think you might have said $100,000 or so. Roughly, what's the repair, the renovation cost that you're seeing?
It's anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000. It really depends. So that makes a lot of things more possible because people might see the Amex Business Platinum and say, I can't spend $15,000. That's just too big. And because I'm getting all that money up front, the loan gives me a check in the beginning. And then I use credit cards so that I already have the funds to pay it off right away. It becomes so much more possible to reach those higher minimum spend certain credit cards because you have higher costs of renovation. So yeah, that's basically what it looks like. $10,000 to $30,000. But again, those are cheaper, like Midwest homes in the $100,000 range.
Got it. So we're talking essentially 10% to 30% roughly is what we're seeing.
Yes. And it's also, you want to think about, you don't have to put everything on a credit card. So maybe you only want to use one sign-up bonus at one time, or maybe you want to be a maximizer because you have a particular redemption in mind. You're like, hey, let me get a couple credit cards because I have $30,000 to spend and to earn points with. It's flexible. It's very, very flexible. And I also wanted to add, I know I talked about the renovation side, but with midterm rentals, there's so much reoccurring expenses that you could put on credit cards. So that's when you're naturally generating points. I kind of liken it to a buying group, but it's literally buying all the supplies to replenish your Airbnb after every stay when the handyman goes over, when the cleaner goes. There's so many recurring expenses, and that essentially becomes a points earning machine, right? If you just put on the right credit cards, either the Chase Inc. Unlimited or the Amex Food Business Plus, it's a great one to earn 1 point per dollar on all your purchases, depending on what it is. So you combine the huge sign-up bonuses with the regular expenses of your business, and now you just have millions of points of miles. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. So you alluded to the property management. Obviously, you're not on site, right? Because this is in the Midwest and you're on the West Coast. So with a lot of these business cards, when you have a business, you actually can establish, of course, your card, but you can set up employee cards, and the employee cards will generate points for you. So like on the wealth management side, I've got my own card, but my team also has cards so we can cover expenses and they don't have to grab my credit card every single time. So question, do you provide these cards to your handyman or your cleaner or your property manager there, or do they basically just kind of invoice you and you just pay for it? How does that work? How have you found that to be the sweet spot for you?
The sweet spot for us is they just invoice us and we pay with the credit card. That way, you know, the thing is about managing, you know, short-term and midterm rentals is sometimes your team members turn over and sometimes relationships change. So to keep it safe, it's nice to have everything on your end instead of getting those employee cards. just to make sure you have a little bit more control, because as co-hosts, we're managing it for another property owner. So we take a little bit more pride in the security of, you know, their information. So for us, it's just getting invoices and paying it with credit cards.
It probably doesn't go without saying that with these various properties that you've acquired over the years, that you did your research to make sure that the property itself was a worthwhile real estate investment. Is that correct? Can I throw out that assumption?
Exactly. For me, it was about getting my first win, right? Because I don't have my primary residence yet. As I mentioned before, I'm pretty priced out of my own market. It's so expensive here. And a lot of the times people get shiny object syndrome with what kind of real estate strategy that they want to do. But, you know, investing in long-term rentals in cheaper markets is one of the easiest ways to start getting invested in real estate, because there's a lower barrier of entry financially. People might get a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that they can't control everything out of state, but that's up to you to build relationships, to really vet your team members in order to make it successful for you as an investor.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing as well, because I think at the same time, it's really easy to say, oh, you did Indiana, I'm going to go look in the same place in Indiana. Oh, there's properties for sale, I'm going to buy it. But you also have to do the research and understand what makes a property a good investment. And obviously, you have your system, you have your people there on the ground. I'm actually curious, do you at this stage, do you fly out to put, you know, eyes on property yourself? Or do you have someone that basically does it for you and tells you what you need to do for it at this point?
I love that question. I've never stepped foot in Indiana. First time I'm going to Indiana is going to be next month. I'm going to be in Indianapolis, 2.5 hours away from all my rentals. And I still have, I mean, there's a little part of me that I'm like, oh, should I check? Should I see how my properties look like in person? But it's such a short trip. I was like, no, I'm okay. So I have like a full team that, you know, take videos for me to feel like I'm there. And I really trust them. Like after 9 units, you really develop a good relationship with, you know, your realtor, your lender. And because of those good relationships, it allows me to get those unique commercial loans with no money down.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So from a real estate standpoint, I think it's also important to mention that there's other opportunities, like you said, beyond the day-to-day expenses. And this is something that I've personally done because I own a multifamily. So I own a triplex that's here in Virginia. Then I've got an Airbnb that's overseas. And so what's really interesting is, especially with Airbnb, for that property, right, you have to buy furniture, TVs, utensils, cooking utensils. So, you know, the startup cost is going to be fairly high outside of just the investment in the property. But that same property itself, you know, I don't remember what it was. I'm going to say probably 12 grand in furniture alone, and furniture and TVs and all the things, right? But those are expenses that you can put on a card as well, right? So as you said, there's a lot of different ways that you can have expenses that, you know, help you hit these sign up bonuses. And they could be things that are through traditional vendors that typically take a credit card anyway. So you don't have to pay that 3% fee, which can really be a very fast way to accumulate a lot of points. So I think what you're doing strategically from a point standpoint is very interesting.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit more about points, because you mentioned something that's very unique. And this is where the very specific cards that are good for business funding and points and miles are the Chase Inc. Unlimited Chase Inc. Cash, and then also the Amex Blue Business Plus. Because not only are you going to earn sign-up bonuses and points for your regular spend, but it has 0% APR for 12 months. So if you're furnishing your Airbnb, you could use that as startup capital to furnish your place that's competitive, because you have 20K and you're not, you know, taking that out of your own money. You can design it very stylishly, very nicely. And then once you get your property rented, pay off that, you know, that card over time. So essentially you're leveraging other people's money to create a cash flowing business and to get points and miles to travel for nearly free. Like, I love this combination. More people need to know about this situation we got going on, DeAndre.
I agree, which is why you're here on this show today, to let the people know. Now, question for you, Jana, do you also find that you're using your cards for kind of unexpected renovations or unexpected things, right? Because in rental properties, there's so much unexpected. There's toilets that break, which it's like, how does a toilet actually like physically break? But it happens, right? All the different things, water heaters go, whatever it may be. Do you find that you're typically using your cards for those things too? Or are those things that kind of just come out of the, you know, the property management, bank account, then they just kind of cycle through?
Excellent question. So traditionally, real estate investors have a reserves account, usually anywhere from 10 to 20% for those surprise expenses. It's part of just your operational cost of being a real estate investor. However, as someone in Points and Miles, again, the Chase Business Income Limited and Inc. Cash or the Amex Food Business Plus can essentially act as your reserves. Because say, for example, you got the sign-up bonus, hooray, you're happy, but you still got that 12 months. So maybe 6 months, 7 months down the line, an AC broke, which happened, you know, at my fourplex, and it cost maybe, I think it costs $4K to replace. I was like, technically, I do have that money set aside in my reserves, but I still had 6 months of 0% APR. So what I did was I charged on the credit card. It was a normal expense for the HVAC company. They didn't charge an additional 3%. And with the 6 months left, I used my rental income to just pay it off. So it essentially became like just an, Just
a wash?
Oh, yeah, a wash, essentially. Because I had the opportunity to use capital. So there's so much more to credit cards and points and miles, especially in the business space, that can be super advantageous. A lot of times, best practices for points and miles, they say, oh, pay it all off in full every single month, which absolutely you should to build, you know, good credit for your own personally. But if you have a strategy and you understand your numbers with business expenses, you can leverage that 0% APR to help you scale or just overcome financial challenges that are unexpected.
But Jane, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, I don't have an established business. We haven't had our first property yet. We have no revenue yet. I don't have an EIN yet. Can I even get a business card?
100%. I have so many business cards under my name as a sole proprietor. And instead of using an EIN, I use my social security number. So when you see a business credit card as a sole proprietor without having an established LLC, your name is written twice on the credit card. And a lot of people don't realize that. That's something that we learned in Freedom Travel Systems, because there's this misconception that if I'm not making revenue, if I don't have a business, I'm not qualified for a business credit card. But in fact, businesses have these 0% APR options for you to get funding so that you can build your business and that startup cost that you need. So 100%, you can get a business credit card without an established LLC.
And then also, I think another interesting thing to throw out there as well is that the business credit cards often don't show up on your credit report, especially with Chase and with Amex. Now, I mean, very clear, you have to have good credit and they will run your credit when you apply, just like any other card. But when you go to pull your credit report for specifically Chase and Amex, for most people and for most of the time, you don't actually see any of those cards on your credit report. Now, Capital One does show up. And so that is something to keep in mind as well. But that also works in cases like you just mentioned, right? If you're floating, you're using your credit line for that credit card as a business expense, and you just spent $5,000 on a card, and let's just say for whatever reason, the card's limit was $5,000, right? Not saying that this is the case, but let's just say for the sake of conversation, it was. So you spend $5,000, the limit's $5,000. That's 100% debt utilization. Credit card companies don't like that. Credit card companies want that to be 30% or less. However, that's what it dings on your personal side. So if it's a business card on a business account, doesn't connect with the personal, you could have that card technically maxed out. Wouldn't affect you. Now, be very clear, you have to make sure you're paying it off on time, all the things, right? Because that's going to you're going to pay interest if you don't, or negatively impact your credit if you're not paying the card off. So it's not free money, but the traditional having a balance and that lowering your credit score, if you have too much of a balance, doesn't apply all the time with a lot of business cards. So I thought that was really cool to throw out there as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. I love that, because exactly like you said, Capital One, Discover, and TD, those business cards report utilization to your personal, but Chase, Amex, everything else does not. Because like you mentioned, one of the biggest mistakes real estate investors use when using capital of 0% APR is getting the personal card, because they see the Freedom Unlimited has 15 months. You're like, oh my God, so much. Those Bank of America personal 0% cards have to 21 months. So of course they're going for it, but they're maxing it out. Like you said, on the business credit card, it allows you to do 100% utilization and not dink your personal credit score.
And the last thing I want to throw out before we get into, because I want to hear some of these trips that you're racking up points. So I want to hear about the trips. But the last thing I'm going to throw out, because you mentioned a really cool strategy about floating, I'm going to throw out another scenario that actually happened to me. So on our triplex, somehow or some way, the there was so grease that clogged the bottom level. So it's a bottom floor and then two units. So the bottom floor is one unit and then there's two units above it, and basically caused a flood. Right. So basically, you know, there was a, something happened, created some a flooding. So the whole first unit got flooded out, essentially. So long story short, this was an insurance claim, because it was the had to be lots of repairs. And so insurance, I think the claim was for, or, you know, $9,000, $10,000. It was pretty serious, amount of repairs. Well, insurance covered it. Well, interesting thing, insurance wrote me a check for, you know, the $10,000 minus the deductible or something along those lines. I'm not going to get these numbers exact, but something along those lines. Well, just like you said about your AC repair, the person that actually did the job accepted a credit card, right? So what I was able to do is use a card, was able to accrue all these points, but I had the funds already there to pay it back. And so that in this case, again, it was a wash because I was able to get all these points and turn something positive out of something that was stressful in the moment. And as I said, with real estate, there's always something that's going to break. That's something that you always have to be prepared for. So I thought I'd throw that out there as well.
Absolutely. I love that play. And like you said, it happens often. It's just part of the operating cost. So why not make something positive about it with points?
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode.
So, Dana, let's talk points. Let's talk destinations, right? What have been some of your favorite amazing first class flights, destinations? What have you been doing with, obviously, this insane amount of points you've been generating?
Sure. I'll talk about a couple of ones. The first one that really opened my mind was my third rental property. It had 26K of renovation. So I opened up the Amex Gold card for 110K sign-up bonus. So that's what I got there. And then the Chase Inc. Unlimited. And it had an elevated sign-up bonus of 90K at that time. Right. So I put essentially that. And then I also used my Amex Blue Business Plus to accrue more points because I was like, I can afford it. It's fine. So with just that one renovation, small property, I earned over 230,000 points, which I used for that fifth Freedom flight from JFK to Milan on Emirates Business Class. So I did round trip from, you know, JFK. I had to take obviously a positioning flight to JFK and then to Milan. At the time, the Grand Hotel Victoria, small luxury resort, was still with Hyatt, right? It's with Hilton now. So great timing because I only had to spend for 3 nights 87,000 points at a 5-star luxury resort in Lake Como with my Hyatt points that I transferred from Chase. So literally from one renovation, which I didn't use any of my own money, I got a round trip flight on Emirates Business Class, 3 free nights at a 5-star luxury hotel for this like amazing Italian getaway. And even after that amazing time I had, when I came home to a rental check of cash flow. Like, way to put the cherry on top. So that was the first time I was like, I need to keep doing this. So another, I mentioned I went to Japan and Korea earlier this year. Same thing for my quadplex. That one was like a full renovation. So it was definitely around like 45K or something like that. I got enough points to take Singapore Airlines business class. Again, Fifth Freedom. I love my Fifth Freedom flights from LAX to NRT, which honestly, I wouldn't do again because it's personally, it's a bit of a hassle going to NRT and getting into Tokyo. I'd rather just go into H&D now, which I am next month. And then we stayed at the Andaz Tokyo, again, with Hyatt points from Chase. Love that spot. And then the Grand Hyatt. I'm a Hyatt girly, okay? And then the Grand Hyatt in Seoul. Beautiful property. I really think it's a higher category than what it's categorized at, that Grand Hyatt Seoul. Because DeAndre, when I was in Korea, I lost my cell phone. Like in my taxi, I just forgot. And it was 10 p.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So I started calling Hyatt, Grand Hyatt Seoul. I was like, I lost my cell phone. Can you help me retrieve it? She's like, do you have anything from it? And I'm like, have a receipt, right? So I have a receipt. So they said, ma'am, unfortunately, the taxi cab company is closed and they're not going to open until 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm like, my flight leaves at 7 a.m. tomorrow. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when you go to like these higher end nine star hotels, especially internationally, they have such amazing service. This woman tried for like 3 hours for me, finally got in contact with a taxi driver and was like, he will come to the hotel and just pay him for his fare. I was like, I promise I will pay him and give him a tip. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is I feel like a lot of times in the points and miles industry, we don't talk about, it's not just about luxury stays, but the services that come with it. If it was, I don't know, Marriott Courtyard, I don't think they'd be trying so hard to get, you know, my phone back, but they really tried at this Hyatt. And I was like, wow, amazing. So I still have my phone that was almost lost.
Very nice. Well, you know, I think that goes to say a lot. Like you said, I think a lot of times we focus on it's a five-star property, it's luxury, it's this, it's that, the views from it, right? And oh my God, it was $1,500 a night, then we got on points for 20,000 points or something crazy, right? But the service that you get at properties like this is absolutely incredible. And as you play the points and miles game, I'm not sure if you've climbed to the globalist status with Hyatt, but even in general, the service is great. But then when you climb through the elite levels of these different hotels, right, whether it's Marriott or Hyatt or IHG, when you're top status, they just bend over backwards to really make sure that they're catering to you and elevating your experience. So I think that was a really cool thing to point out, an amazing story. And I'm super glad you got your cell phone back.
And yeah, exactly what you said. So with the Amex Platinum, you get the complimentary Marriott Gold and Hilton Gold. And at the time, I had Hyatt Discover, so the lowest status of Hyatt.
But still status.
Internationally, that goes a long way, especially if you're just nice. People don't realize just being a good communicator, giving a compliment here or there, smiling, can get you more of an upgrade even into beyond your regular standard room, even if you have the lowest status. So for me, I'm not globalist yet. Hopefully one day in the future. But in the meantime, I see it as a challenge. Like, Gina, what can you achieve with Explorers? Let's see. Let's try.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, especially for the listeners as well, because you talked about the fifth Freedom flight from JFK to Milan. Do you mind sharing a couple things? A, what is a fifth Freedom flight? And B, what was that Emirates business class experience like?
Of course. So a fifth Freedom flight is when an airline has a route between two cities that is not their home airport. So, you know, Emirates, it was from JFK to Milan and didn't go to the UAE. Same thing with Singapore Airlines. It never went to Singapore. It just went from LAX to NRT. And typically with these fifth Freedom flights, you get those nicer planes. You get the 380. You get those larger carriers that give you a better experience, even though you're not going to that particular airline's like home base. So that's essentially with a fifth Freedom flight. And a lot of the times fifth Freedom flights tend to be sweet spots for points and miles. So in the points and miles space, people know that JFK to Milan. When you say that route, they're like, I know you took Emirates, right?
Yep. That's on the to-do list, that specific route. We're actually, I'm super excited when we come back from the Maldives in a couple months, we're flying Emirates the whole way, connecting in Dubai, but business class Emirates, I'm excited, which is why I'm super excited to hear what was your experience like.
It is top notch. So fortunately, I got the plane with the bar on the board. So it's nice to just have extra snacks, have a separate place to lounge. But again, going with a business perspective, if you're a real estate investor, sometimes you're looking for private money lenders. You want to get in rooms with people making more money. Those airplane lounges, those airplane bars, I guess, that's where rich people are. That's where you could have conversations that could elevate your business. You literally could make connections in this free flight that you got from Points and Miles. So that's one thing. The second thing was the service. They go absolutely above and beyond. I remember asking my stewardess, and first of all, you don't just have one. Any stewardess will help you. Like, and everyone is helping you, not like in other times, it's just like one person typically. And I said, oh, do you guys have iced tea? And without batting her eyes, she was like, yeah. She comes back. Here, ma'am, I had to make some brewed tea and then I put ice because we don't have iced tea. So she didn't even say in the very beginning, we don't have iced tea. Her regular answer is always yes to a customer in business class. And then they have to find a solution that she straight up made iced tea for me, even though they didn't have it. And I was like, wow, that just goes to really show they go above and beyond. They make your bed for you. If you try to do something on your own, they're like, stop, don't work. Put in any effort. And I was like, oh my gosh, feels so awkward to be honest, right? Because I wasn't used to that. I'm going to make your bed. Is that comfortable for you? Do you need anything more? Are your nuts getting cold? Let me give you some more warm nuts. And I was like, my gosh, I have like four drinks all the time. I'm not even like finishing any of them. They're just like, do you need anything else? Can I help you more? And I was like, this is wild because that was my first time in business class and it was Emirates. And, you know, I was just like, man, those Middle Eastern carriers are so top notch. I'd love to take Etihad apartment. Sometimes that's definitely bucket list for me, but Emirates, high class, high class.
That's an incredible story. I'm super excited. I've mentioned this on previous episodes, but we're flying Q Suites there and Emirates business class back. So it's going to be a pretty comfortable ride back to the Maldives and back. So we're super excited. So, Jaina, you're doing some amazing things. You mentioned some amazing business cards to have. I'm really curious, what are some of the personal cards that you hold that you find to be your favorites? And I know that's going to obviously change as there's sign-up bonuses that you're trying to hit on the personal side. But I'm curious, what are your daily drivers? And then on the flip side, do you ever get a personal card and then still put some of your real estate expenses on there just to help with the sub? I'm curious if you do that as well.
Oh, I love this question. So my daily drivers are the Chase Trifecta. So I have the Preferred, Sapphire Preferred. I have the Freedom Flex, but the older version, the Visa, because I actually downgraded my Sapphire Reserve to that Freedom specifically so that I could churn and get the Preferred for the sign-up bonus again, of course. And then I also have the Unlimited. So that is my everyday kind of spend, unless it's certain business meetings or dining, which technically is about it's every day for me. So I use the Amex Business Gold. So typically I'm more of a Chase girl because I love Hyatt so much. For me as a real estate investor, I like to keep things simple. I usually just use Chase points for Hyatt hotels and I use my Amex points for flights. That's how I keep it simple. Of course, there's overlap if I need it or top off some points here and there with the overlapping transfer partners. So that's available to me as well. My most recent favorite personal card is I got that Barclays Hawaiian 70K sign-up bonus with just one purchase and $99 annual fee. And I'm taking that to take first class on the new the Dreamliner to Hawaii for my cousin's wedding in November. And then I have used real estate expenses, specifically on the Built card, right? Okay, so I don't pay for rent because I live with a family that house hacks. Well, I pay for rent, but not like in a normal,
like at an apartment complex or something like that. That's a typical renter's like lease style of payment. Yep.
So getting the Built card was actually very intentional for me to build a business relationship with Wells Fargo. So I don't have any kind of data points with Wells Fargo. I was like, oh, well, the Built card would be perfect because I like what they're doing as a program. So maybe you've heard there's like a secret bonus offer where in the first 5 days of getting the Built card, you get 5 points per dollar up to 10K in spend. So I timed getting the Built card during a renovation, right? But that renovation was under my name. It wasn't in my LLC, right? So that was okay, right? Personal. Do I do it sometimes where I put my business expense personal? Yes. I'm sorry to my CPA, but I could do better. Everyone could do better. Everybody could do better. It just happens. So I maxed out that 10K sign-up bonus, it's a secret sign-up bonus with Built, and I got 50,000 Built points from that like secret sign-up bonus. And that was on the personal end that I used for real estate.
Very cool. And I'm glad that you actually mentioned that because I've mentioned this in a previous, I think it was a quick hit of, you know, a few weeks prior, but basically there's a lot of people that have confusion on the rules of business cards versus personal cards. So for example, when I first started as a financial advisor, first started my practice, I didn't have a business card. I just had a personal card. And so I had my business expenses by using my personal card. And I had my CPA that basically said, well, these are still your business expenses, so these are your write-offs. Well, eventually over time, I got a business card, and that just makes it easier because I have personal expenses on personal, business card, business expenses on business. But on the flip side, if you have a business card, you can put your personal expenses on there as well. Now, here's the key, and this is going back to the CPA. You have to make sure that those are not considered a write-off. Or again, we're not going to get into the tax law here, but basically, if for someone that's saying, well, I don't have 8K in business expenses or 15K in business expenses, you can have expenses that still add up to that. Maybe you're trying to pay for a wedding, you're trying to pay for something, or you're trying to pay for something with a high expense or something like that. You can put that on a business card, hit the spend. It's just not going to necessarily be considered a business write-off for whatever your business is, more than likely. So I like throwing that out there because I think there's a lot of confusion, like we alluded to earlier, when I had asked you, can you even get a business card without revenue, right? I think there's a lot of confusion, and I think we can add a lot of clarity for listeners with different things like that.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up.
For sure. So Jada, question for you. When it comes to someone that wants to get started investing in real estate, I'm going to pull back to the real estate investment side of things for a minute. What would be your suggestions on how someone should start?
Excellent question. I would say get yourself in rooms with people who are investing in real estate or join virtual communities. I'm one of the community managers of Out-of-State Investor Academy with Soleil from Lattes and Leases. And that's what really has fueled my investment journey. It showed me that I could do this long term, and it's not just I get one property and that's it. I hit my goal. Right? Because it's just like learning anything new. It's harder to do by yourself. But if you could learn from other people, just like my business partner, he made it so much easier, lowered the barrier for me by using all his team members for me to get my first property. So it expedited my process faster than it was for him because he had to do all the grunt work. But people in real estate are so willing to share their contacts, are so willing to teach you what they've learned, because they knew what it was like to be in the position of getting your first rental as well. So join communities online, go to real estate meetups. I would say that's the first step to get a little bit more clarity on what you can do financially and what aligns with your financial goals.
So for someone that's heard this episode and they're like, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to get my first real estate investment. I'm going to use cards. I'm going to rack up the points. I'm going to do all the things. I'm going to fly to Milan. I'm going to stay in luxury. What would you tell them are some common or some key things or mistakes to avoid when it comes to both initial kind of excitement around real estate investing, but also using your cards, your credit cards for points and miles in the space of real estate investing?
Good question. The first thing I would let them know is to have your mindset and your goals lead the direction of your different strategies. And what I mean by that, if your goal is to build wealth and essentially get long-term cash flow so you don't have to work a W-2 in the future, that should be your focus. It's really just a bonus that you could get travel for nearly free. Because if you come into it with a mindset that's opposite, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get into real estate investing so I could get a lot of points, that can lead you down a dark hole. And maybe all of a sudden you didn't realize there's all these unexpected expenses. There's a dark side of real estate that people don't really tout, obviously, online often. And now you're using your credit cards after the 0% APR period, or you're using the credit cards with vendors that are charging 3%, and it's not even worth it at that point to collect the points and miles. There has to be a balance, and that comes with knowledge first. So I would say first learn the basics of credit, and make sure you're financially in a very stable position to leverage this strategy, because it's absolutely not for beginners, unfortunately. But there are many people who are real estate investors. And a lot of the times, DeAndre, I hear people say, I got into real estate so that I could build wealth so that I can travel. And I'm like, wait. Did you know that you could do it before you have this massive portfolio of rentals? Even with no rental properties, you could still travel for nearly free as long as you have the education and discipline, more so to use points and miles responsibly to attain your goals.
I think that was a phenomenal explanation there, Jane. I think you hit the nail on the head, right? It's about balance. It's about having a vision, but also you want to have developed a decent amount of the knowledge before you just jump right in. And like you said, and like as I alluded to before, your stuff goes wrong, right? When things go wrong in real estate, it's typically pretty expensive. So you really want to make sure you have a good game plan in place. So, Jane, a question for you as we start to wrap up here. Are there any upcoming real estate projects you have? Are you looking to get number 10 and this again, another financial advisor question here, but has this higher interest rate environment that we're in dissuaded you at all? Any, are you still excited? And you're like, hey, I'm still adding to the portfolio. I want to build more doors, have more units.
Absolutely want to continue building more doors and having more units. Reason why is like, I know it's a long-term game for me, and I'm very fortunate to have the safety net of a W-2 to take even riskier investments, because sometimes things will happen. You're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness I have my W-2 to pay for it. So you could use it as leverage as well. But right now, my real estate investing journey, I think I'm kind of done with the Midwest buying residential real estate. And now I'm looking to scale, because at the end of the day, to be completely transparent, those Midwest properties are never going to replace my W-2 soon. It's going to take maybe 50 of those rentals to replace my W-2. So I'm like, okay, let me get into higher market, more cash flowing strategies like short-term rentals or mid-term rentals, or perhaps I'll go more into commercial real estate. Maybe think about, storage, as a real estate strategy, or more into multifamily. So I think right now I'm figuring out what's my next step, which is why I'm going to Indiana next month for the first time to look at some properties there. By the way, I love doing this points combination with Hyatt. So me and another real estate investor, we're getting a Hyatt Place in Indianapolis. One, just because I haven't been to Hyatt Place. So I'm using that brand Explorer to check off a Hyatt brand.
Check off a set. Yep. Get that free night certificate.
Exactly. And two, because we both have Chase points, she just sends her points to me with a points combining request form so that we could split the points cost of the hotel. And then also I get those stays on mine, and I have status, so she benefits from it as well. So there's so many ways points and miles can help real estate investors, like even with just looking at different markets for investing.
That's awesome. So that's your upcoming, what you're looking to do in the real estate side. I'm very curious. I know you already talked about that you're going to Japan. What exciting trips do you have either on the books that's not real estate related to Indiana, or what are some of your bucket lists? Like, hey, I'm really trying to do this trip next. What's next for you in the points and miles travel space?
So the one on my books right now is November. I'm taking that first class on Hawaiian Airlines on their new Dreamliner. But at the same time, I'm staying at Turtle Bay, the Ritz-Carlton. So it just recently turned into a Ritz, right? And so what I did was I used my Amex Platinum, because of the 40-year anniversary benefits. I got a free third night for fine hotels and resorts. And plus, you get all those benefits. You get the free breakfast. You get the $100 hotel credit. You get late checkout, early check-in, possibly a room upgrade, which, I'm going to work. I'm going to work that situation. So staying there for three nights, was able to use, the fine hotels and resorts, and then staying three nights in Waikiki at Hyatt Regency, used my Chase points for that. But a bucket list flight that I'm coming up that's on the books too, DeAndre, is I'm going to Istanbul in March for my birthday trip with one of my friends. We're taking Turkish Air business class, on their new, I forget what the number of the plane is, but I'm so excited to try all that food. But not only that, to go to the Turkish Airlines business class lounge in Istanbul. That one looks wild.
Yeah. Have you ever been to that airport in general?
Yes, I had a layover, but it was such a long time ago.
The airport's a city itself. I don't think I've ever seen an airport that is like it is. I mean, there's some really nice ones out there. Doha's really nice. There's some really nice airports out there. This airport, it feels like you're in a city. Like the airport itself feels like you're walking through Dubai. It's wild. You're going to have an incredible time there. That's an awesome trip.
Yeah. And, I just transferred my points to Air Canada, found award availability during a time that there was a transfer bonus to Air Canada. So that's how I redeemed that particular business class.
Perfect. Jan, this was fantastic. You shared a lot of knowledge here, just amazing stuff. I think the listeners are going to want to connect with you and see more of the content that you put out in the real estate investing / points and miles space. So what are the best ways for the listeners to connect with you?
Sure. They could follow me on my IG, which is right there. It's at @Jaina_Ann. So @JAINA_ANNE. And I teach real estate investors and business owners how to use points and miles for nearly free travel.
Perfect. Last two things I always like to ask before we wrap up. First, who else should we have on the show?
Ooh, I like that question. I'd love to see Kehlani from Points of Travel Expert, or Points Lodi, Marianne. Those are two of some of the, you know, Points and Miles creators that I love. So those two.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we'll reach out and hopefully we can get them on a future episode. Jaina, before we wrap this one up, any final thoughts, any last pieces of real estate, points and miles, travel wisdom you want to bestow on us before we cut this one off?
If there's anything that you've been thinking about doing in the past year, do it now. It's time to do it. That's it.
Perfect. I love it. Get the points, go get it done. And in general, just follow your dreams, pursue it. And who knows, your dreams could involve real estate, and real estate can take you on incredible places and inspire nearly free travel. Jaina, thank you so much for having taken the time out today to be on the show to talk through not just points and miles and travel, but also real estate and being a little bit more transparent about how you got started in real estate, right? And kind of how you came up in that world and talking about both the good and the bad things that happen in the real estate world. I know we focus on points and miles as well, but I think this was a really, really unique, really special conversation. So really appreciate your time today.
Of course. Thank you so much, DeAndre.
Absolutely. You're so welcome. For the listeners out there, make sure to connect with Jaina to learn how to not only get started with real estate investing, but also how to capitalize on the opportunity to earn points while doing so. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Give us a rating, tell your friends. If you know of friends that like investing or are interested in investing in real estate, man, you got to share this one with them because this was an absolute bomb of an episode. I loved it so much. Jaina, you're fantastic. So for listeners, as always, we'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.